Welcome to Winning at Life. This is the Daily Wrap with Gregory Ricks. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, the 401k and retirement authority, and a semi-expert on Alaska cruises. Hey, tonight we're going to talk a little bit about the bond market, the big illusion revealed. We're going to talk about some annuity facts you may not know. And maybe I'll help you out with understanding how the market works. Maybe a few ideas there. If you have a financial situation and need some help, you can call me at 504-260-0995. You can go to gregoryricks.com. We have a chat box. You can interact with a team member as well. You can utilize the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. I saw a bunch of downloads on it today. They're probably getting ready to message me during the show, as well as come into the office or just a link to their financial dashboard. See, oh, and also email gregory@gregoryricks.com. All right, I'm back. Had to bend down, pick up that electric cord. The computer doesn't like to work without juice being on all the time. Gosh, busy day at the office. We have four conference rooms, and I think we had almost five going, which is difficult because we don't have a fifth conference room for meetings. Let's see. You know, one thing I was looking at before the show, and this is still ongoing. I talked last night about a little bit of flight trouble coming back with American Airlines, but it's nothing compared to what's going on with Delta. I was reading, and they're still canceling flights, and this has been a global problem. Let's see. This was updated this evening. Delta Airlines' inability to get thousands of stranded customers to their destination following its computer system failure Mondays being hampered by reduced cooperation among carriers. You know, when you think about it, if they have, you know, and they're always, you know, when you think about if your flight's coming up for a week or you're deciding to go somewhere, it's very difficult to find flights in the next few days. And imagine that they've had all these cancellations. They have people trying to find or position them on other flights with empty seats, knowing that a month ago they were sending up planes 87% full. So this isn't something where they go along and, oh, we've got plenty seats to rearrange thousands of customers that have been stranded. And now, and one of the things in the past is they've had cooperation with other airlines, and those packs haven't gone as well of late. So there's reduced cooperation, and some of their partners have wanted higher fees because those arrangements were made with a lower fee in mind for them to do the cooperation. They, you know, first off is, yeah, they want to make some money doing it in that case. Okay, that's not working. I'm having to re-log in. My computer shut some things down. I was taking a moment there, and it's just not working. So radio, it's hard to do two, three things at once here. So they're not getting caught. So imagine your situation is they have trouble or probably trying to get you back to where you're going. Probably is going to be a few days out or put you on another airline. And that isn't quite what you wanted to begin with. I guess if you have money, it's easy to fix, which means most of the people are having great difficulty because they're either having to find a place to stay. I know they're giving vouchers, but they're not buying everybody hotels and food. just horrendous costs for them on that. So I feel their pain. You know, when my wife had mentioned that when we come back, she said, "Oh, I'm not flying American anymore. I just want to fly Delta from now on." I bet she would be saying she doesn't want to fly Delta anymore if we were stuck in the middle of this. Think about that. Yeah, that's some crazy stuff. So, you know, when it's kind of, you have to have your options open. And even though we do maybe have a few preferences on airlines, sometimes, you know, my judgment is what can I fly to get a direct flight? Cause I don't want to have to change planes or whatever, cause that adds time to the trip. Or do I go out of my way to get to where I want to go with my preferred flyer and then hope they don't have problems? But, you know, I was reading a little bit. Maybe some of this is just aged computer systems. You think about that.
Well, what's the latest with Delta right now? Are they still all out with the system?
They're not all out, but they're still having problems with it. I'm just looking at the latest report. This was posted about 30 minutes ago. It was an updated to an earlier story I saw this morning. And they're just still having difficulties, you know, and we've seen Southwest Airlines have had that for a couple of times. But you think about it, things go down. It all has to do with computers. Whether somebody's trying to book a flight, they all do it online. Their computers have got to issue the tickets, and you got to choose seats. You've got to move luggage. You know, on top of that, imagine how much luggage is in limbo out there. I saw when Southwest, a picture, I think it was out in Phoenix Airport, that they were using parking lots to stack luggage. You could just see unbelievable amount of luggage stuck out there because they were getting passengers to where they were going, but they couldn't connect up the luggage.
I don't find that this happens a lot, though. I mean, or am I wrong? I mean, you would think with all the traffic.
It's not a lot, but when it does happen, it's bad. Now, you know, what was the computer glitch? I haven't seen that yet, but heck, you know, somebody hacked their system or something. You know, you wonder about that.
Yeah, it's pretty scary.
Yeah, there's just, hey, I'm glad I'm back home in town. See, the Department of Transportation said 1.3% of flights were canceled in the 12 months to May 2016, the latest figures available compared with a peak of 3.33% in the same period 2 years earlier. I wonder what they're saying about currently. Well, this is going to be an ugly period. So the problems continued today as hundreds more Delta flights were canceled. And they're expecting more problems tomorrow. So you see, you have a stacking problem where the other carriers aren't being as helpful, but they've probably picked up the phones and worked some deals to get some help. But think about it. A month ago, Delta's average flight was 87% full. So when you have thousands displaced, being able to pop 10 or 15 of them at a time on an already booked and ticketed or checked in flights, you're not solving that problem very easily when it all goes bad. And I tell you, I've flown a great deal over the past few years, and it is a rarity when you're on a plane and it's not full. So it really compounds the problems. Maybe they have to pull out some jets that just were taken a rest or something as well. But then you got to go, okay, we've got to add more pilots. A lot of rules there. So once again, hey, if anybody has a story to tell, you can call us 504-260-0995. Let's check Delta's stock today. And it was off a little bit, it looks like. Just refresh to make sure I'm current with that. Yeah. Off 0.29%. It closed at $37.15. American Airlines was up almost 0.25%, closed at $34.59 as well. Angie, I don't have a clock over here, so you're going to let me know everything kind of got disrupted.
No problem.
As well, so when I hear the music. So we're going to talk a little bit about tonight is something I didn't cover last night that I had promised, and that was some additional annuity facts, and probably, and I'll cover my favorite one with you if you have not heard it. And it's really going to talk about some differences between indexed annuities and variable annuities. The facts I'm going to go over with you tonight, and then we're going to talk about the market a little bit, and then some of what maybe is being talked about in the bond market that's coming as well. We had a client meeting today where the couple came in and they were really wanting to look at things again to see where they're going, because they're taking a little bit more income than I'm necessarily comfortable with. And they probably sense that it's a little aggressive because they're taking probably about 6% income stream and we're about 4.5%. Well, I'd rather be at about 4.5%, I told them when we were having the discussion today. I'll tell you a little bit more about that story when we're coming back from the break. This is Winning at Life, the Daily Wrap. You're listening to us on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Vermont, I want scotch, I want beer. I'm having a record year. Quarter notes and Hank's halftime. I'm pounding on this heart of mine. Song, song, I pass.
You're listening to Winning at Life, the Daily Wrap on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. And that's my current favorite country song by Eric Church, My Record Year. When I was on my cruise last week, you know what I missed? Yeah, this song. So I've listened to it a little bit extra the past couple days. You know what was really good? Back in my bed last night. That was even better than listening to Eric Church. I'm kind of 7 days on a trip. I'm good. Let's go back home. I don't care what I didn't see or missed or whatever. We'll just have to come back another time.
Well, it's like you need a vacation from the vacation.
Yeah, and then you get, something thrown in there like, oh, we missed the connection. Now we got to sleep overnight without luggage. Hey, I feel a little bit of pain. Some of these folks are probably stranded for a few days with Delta, so. I mentioned that trip. Let's see, where was I going? I was in Budapest. We had missed our connection in Atlanta, got to Budapest. We missed our connection in Atlanta, so I had to spend the night. We were actually going 2 days early and then ended up 1 day early. But the big surprise was in Budapest, our luggage didn't make it from Switzerland over. So that was my first experience, was great panic. God, we're going on a river cruise for a week in Europe with no clothes or anything. Well, it did show up a few hours before we had to go on the ship. So that worked out in the end.
Did you know in Atlanta they opened up a store where whatever lost and found luggage from the airports, they got a contract and now they sell it wholesale? And that's legal.
I've never been in one of those stores, but yeah, that's done. I guess if you don't come back and claim it eventually, or I don't know. I just always think my luggage is pretty important.
People are finding like Rolex watches because it's just people's luggage.
Who would put that in their luggage?
Someone not very smart.
Imagine that. I think we ought to have GPSs on all of our luggage so we can know where it's at, even though the airlines may not know. Think about that. I think that's a good idea. I hadn't seen anybody advertising it, but maybe you can just stick a chip in your bag or something and it can find it. There's an app for it somewhere, I'm sure.
If not,
I don't think there's an app for everything. Not yet, but
if not, you might want to work on that, Gregory.
Or there'll be an app for everything one day. When we went to the break, I was talking about clients that were in, and earlier in the year, they had bumped income up. And this is one of many stories where you hear somebody that has taken retirement earlier because of cutbacks, layoffs, or an injury on the job. And so, yeah, the retirement's a little bit earlier than they expected. But the level of income they're taking, we do a financial GPS roadmap. And one of the things is kind of where we can look forward based on reasonable expectations of where they're going to be. And they're pretty conservative. So they have a mix of managed money and some financial tools that do not have any correlated risk with income riders. So we can guarantee to where they're going to be on a pension-like income down the road. So they came in to talk about the numbers and talk about what we're doing on the portfolio and such, and then at the core, talk about their income. And they took some extra money out last year that wasn't planned in to buy a vehicle as well. So and that's one thing you always kind of take in consideration when we build out one of these workbooks. And basically it's math. You create perfection and then life happens with, oh, I'm needing this. I need to adjust income. We're needing a little bit more than I thought. Oh, can we run this at this level a little bit longer? You come up with all these little adjustments and then, you know, it's like that car GPS. You took a left to go to Bass Pro Shop instead of that right to continue on down the highway. And then you say, oh, there's one of my favorite restaurants. We'll get through shopping. Let's eat there. So now you get the back car moving. So it's got to recalculate the route, then recalculate the time and distance. What time are you going to what's the reasonable expectation of when I'm going to arrive? Well, that's what we do with money. Is you're making adjustments along the way. You're changing the course a little bit, so we make adjustments. See, is this going to work out? So, and this is kind of what we had planned for, this level of income for about 5 years and then a reduction. Well, that's kind of changing a little bit as well, because now the discussion has changed to turning on Social Security a little bit earlier for the wife. And the husbands will switch from disability to his Social Security benefit at 66. So you have those things happen, and then on the managed money, there's a little bit of fluctuation there. So you have to have some patience, because one of the things is, you know, when you're dealing with money in the market, it's not always going to go quite as expected, and it always doesn't go up, does it? And then we have some financial tools in the mix that, no matter what, gives them a positive reaction to what's going on. So at the end of the meeting, we talked and I said, yeah, I'd like to have you dialed back. So we have a slight spend down over the 5 years, but what we agreed to, I suggested we sit back down in December, maybe early January, to review, see where they're at, because they're going to look at things and probably adjust the income down a little bit. And then he suggests, okay, let's do it in February. I said, hey, I'm here for you. I'll do it whenever you want. But let's, for the time being, kind of let's relook at this every 6 months and see how things are going to make sure you're on course. And that's the thing we always talk about, is we do a asset inventory to kind of look at, hey, what's the values of everything? And we do another report that shows what they started with and what was put where. So then they know where it began at and where it is now. Then we look at the GPS, see, okay, where's this going next year, year after, 5, 10, 15 years out, to make sure they're on course. So one of the things where this connects to is my family story. When Dad died a long time ago, when I was much younger, Mom came into a couple million dollars and just, she didn't know how to find help or judge, is the help good enough? If it's not going well, what do you do? What's the capability of the assets? And where am I going to be in 3 years, 5 years, 8, 10, 15 years out? She didn't have that understanding, or there was nobody there to coach her and guide her. So those that were helping her, they were probably more a function of trading than they were from a fiduciary standpoint or looking out for her or warning her, this is not going the right way. Now, I'm not blaming out completely on those that were helping her, because she probably was overspending as well, just like the discussion I was talking about, where they're probably 0.5% to 1% more than I'm comfortable with. But this isn't something where it's coming off the rails, because we're monitoring it and talking about it often. Where she was getting none of this discussion and say, hey, you're spending too much. This is going to be the result in 10 years. Now, I wish she had had consultations like that. So that's where I really came up with this, because what would have helped mom back then? It sure makes it easier having Excel spreadsheets today and such, and these analysis can be put together very quickly back then. Yeah, a lot more difficult, but still, I couldn't imagine doing planning and guidance 30 something years ago and not being able to have discussions like that. Well, we'll just see what your statement looks like next quarter or next month, or let's look at the statements at the beginning of the year and see how we need to go forward. When you think about it, those month end statements you get, that is so old school. When you think about it, are any of you out there, is that what you base everything on, the month end statement? When actually you get to monitor 24/7, you don't even have to wait for it to come in the mail. You can go online, log in, and see everything. That's just where all the information we like to provide gives immediate access, all kind of reporting that's at your fingertips. I can't imagine waiting. Oh, okay. It's end of the month is another week. Well, heck, right now you're looking at end of the month, or next time you're going to get that statement in the mail is about 3 weeks. Imagine what can happen during 3 weeks. I kind of like to know where I'm going on off course. Now, that's saying because I want to see everything all the time. That might not be healthy for you to see everything all the time, but if you're needing reporting and analysis, you should be able to quickly get to that, and you shouldn't have to wait on the mail to see your month-end statement. So it was good meeting today with them, and they understand where they're headed, and it might help if they can make a little bit of positive adjustments to their accounts as well. So those are really great meetings with that. And then, of course, we had a couple of families come in and become clients today as well. Just interesting day, very busy, very hectic, but all in a day's work is helping people get to where they're going financially. When we come back from the break, I'm going to touch on the markets for today, and then we're going to talk about some annuity facts that I think are really interesting. You're listening to Winning at Life, the Daily Wrap with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Contents of this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take place of your attorney, accountant, tax professional, personal trainer, football coach, interior decorator, or those fortune tellers at Jackson Square. Please consult a financial advisor before making all investment decisions. Now, back to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Gregory Ricks & Associates is a registered investment advisory firm. If you'd like a copy of Form ADV or required filings, call the office, 504-832-9200, or go to gregoryricks.com. Let's see here. Here's one of the things to think about what's going on. You know, we have a lot of money flowing into the country. Obviously, that's pushed interest rates on bonds down, and those seeking equity returns have helped push the stock market to higher levels. Bond markets, big illusion revealed as U.S. yields turn negative. Compared with low-risk options at home like Japanese government bonds, treasuries have long offered highest yields around, and that has been the case even after accounting for the cost to hedge against the dollar's ups and downs. A common practice for institutions that invest internationally. And that's kind of the point. So you can say, well, God, I could go over to the U.S. and get 10-year treasuries paying me 1.5%. But you have to think about currency movement and exchange rates. That truism is now a thing of the past. Last month, yields on 10-year treasury notes turned negative for Japanese buyers who pay to eliminate currency fluctuations from their returns, something that hasn't happened since the financial crisis. It's even worse for the euro-based investors who are locking in sub-zero returns on treasuries for the first time in history. So they've got a margin there on interest rates, and then once they buy the insurance for the currency exchange, now they're in a negative situation. This quirk means long-standing notion of the U.S. as a respite from negative yields in Japan and Europe is little more than illusion. With everyone from Jeffrey Gundlach to Bill Gross warning of a bubble in bonds, it could ultimately upend the record foreign demand for treasuries, which has underpinned their seemingly unstoppable gains in years. Jeffrey Rosenberg, chief investment strategist for fixed income at BlackRock, said people like a simple narrative. But there isn't a free lunch. You can't simply talk about yield differentials without talking about currency differentials. The currency differentials is what's turning them negative right now. Diams Sikaki has been shunning treasury since April, a month after foreign holdings of U.S. debt hit a record. Instead, he favors bonds of France and Italy because they offer some degree of yield and the currency hedging costs are cheap. It's been such a demand for the dollar so that they can get into investments over here has been that problem. The shift lines up with the latest available Treasury Department data, which showed the demand for non-U.S. investors in April and May was weakest in a two-month stretch since 2013. So it's finally dying down. The fact that yields on 10-year treasuries are still way higher than those in Japan or Germany is part of the reason foreigners are having such a hard time actually profiting from the difference. Negative interest rates outside the U.S. have caused a surge in demand for dollars and assets, as I mentioned a moment ago, pushing up the cost to get into and out of the greenback at the same exchange rate to levels rarely seen in the past. So that's some of the dilemma overseas. Imagine if that was reversed, how ugly it would be. What we have to hope for is we don't have that situation come to us where you're having to look for you. What do? Go put it under the mattress or move it overseas? Well, that's what rest of the world has been doing, is shifting money this way. So what do you think that sucking sound will be like when the money starts moving back to the other continents, other countries, other markets? Will it be loud, fast? Will it be scary? Well, you might not hear it, but it's going to be scary when it happens. Okay, here we go. Been covering this occasionally, so we're kind of working through my list a little bit show by show, and I probably spent too much time on the tour of Alaska last night to cover that, but we're going to cover it the remainder of the show here, and then on the next break when I come back, we'll hit the markets and continue. One of the favorite sayings is, annuities are vehicles that are used to accumulate retirement money and ensure you can receive an income you cannot outlive once in retirement. That's kind of their core job, is to make sure you receive income. Now, you can set it up as a period certain. You can set it up as a life income. Period certains are going to pay out more, but they're only paying out for a specific period of time. Life income, probably not as large a payments as period certain. However, life income means you're going to receive checks no matter how long you live. What's the negative on that? Well, if you don't live too long, you didn't get paid out all the money. That's one reason. I always like period certain. So like mom, part of mom's settlement was, remember, well, those of you that know the story, you know, when it came down to settlement, there was a lump sum settlement as well as a guaranteed income for life. And part of that on the guaranteed income for life was it was a life income with a 10-year period certain. So if she was to, say, live 9 years into the agreement and then moved on, she would have 1 year left on the period certain. So that meant they would continue the checks to my sisters and I for that remaining 12 months, which brought her to the end of the 10-year period certain, because that means they would pay 10 years worth no matter what. After 10 years, they're only paying to her as long as she lives. So hope that helps give you an understanding of what that means. Now, of course, if you have life income only and died year one, there's no further payment. So that's not very favorable way to do it. Now, if say you had a 10-year period certain, that means all the money's paying out over the next 10 years. It's an absolute in that case. Let's see, move on before I run out of time to cover some new stuff. Here's one other that's really popular when I talk about it this way. You have life insurance and you have annuities. Think of life insurance. It guards against the risk of dying too soon. You don't have a big enough pile of money for your family and you die too soon. Life insurance makes that up for anywhere from pennies to nickels to dimes on the dollar in costs, while annuities guard against the risk of living too long. Now let's jump over to my indexed annuities. Let's see here. Number 29. There's two subtypes of annuities, fixed and variable. Fixed provides principal guarantees backed up by the reserves of the insurance company. And variable annuities basically are in the Wall Street world. Remember, I talk about three worlds, the banking world, Wall Street world, and the insured money world. So variable falls into the Wall Street world, which means the invested amount is not protected from loss unless it's, say, in a fixed interest account in the variable annuity. There are also two subtypes of fixed annuities. Traditional fixed, which means interest-based, and then you have indexed, which are linked to the market. You can't invest in the market, but you can link to the market. Fixed and indexed annuity. Well, and the second type is indexed annuities, as I mentioned. Once again, I kind of refer to it as interest-linked investing. Fixed and indexed annuities are insurance products, while variable annuities are considered investments. Generally, financially conservative individuals are better suited for fixed annuities. Having a discussion today with a new family that came on board as clients, and they basically are a three on our breakdown of risk analysis, and I re-verified that with them. And I said, yeah, that's pretty much what you're doing is our balanced income conservative portfolio and mixed with fixed indexed annuities. And so that's kind of here in my notes that, you know, once again, financially conservative individuals are better suited for fixed annuities. It still means you need to ask questions. How much are my fees? What's my surrender period? Is there any cost? What other ways do I have to exit? How can I take distributions? It actually should position you to start asking more questions. So we're going to continue this when we come back from the break. But right out of the break, we're going to talk about what happened on the market today. You're listening to Winning at Life, the Daily Wrap with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. You're listening to News Talk, WRNO 99.5, News Talk. I said that completely backwards, in fact. News Talk 99.5 WRNO. This is Winning at Life, the Daily Wrap with Gregory Ricks. I have a speaking event coming up, it looks like next week, Gregory Ricks Live. It's going to be at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Metairie. Favorite restaurant of mine, by the way. Great service, great people there. It's going to start at 6:30. You need to RSVP. There will be a $10 fee to attend. We're going to match it and donate it to a charity that we'll announce that evening. I'm going to speak for about an hour, give or take 2 or 3 minutes either way, maybe four. The Total Wealth Authority is going to be there, like Dwayne Stein. You just heard his promotion there, host of Mortgage Gumbo that airs on Saturday at 1 o'clock following my show. Great show if you want more information on mortgages, and that guy knows how to get it done. I had a call with a client today that she had sat down with Sue talking about reverse mortgages. And so she's got some more work to do on that. But I'll tell you, when I had kind of suggested she have a conversation with his mortgage expert over there at Dwayne Stein's firm, you know, she was just like, oh, reverse mortgages. I've heard they're horrible. They're bad. You wouldn't want to do it. And I said, just have a conversation, because it'd be cool for you to have your mortgage go away in retirement and receive a check. For her, that'd be an $850 a month swing. So she is turned out when we talked today, yeah, the mortgage can go away and she'd be getting a check for about $250 a month from now. So that's a swing in value of $850. And today she wasn't negative or anything. She has concerns. She has questions, but it was all positive tone to just want to make sure everything checks out. And I'm going to, because we work together on these cases, so I'm going to review her numbers of where she's needing to be in retirement. And by the way, she said, oh yeah, I wish I could go to Alaska. I hope I can do that. And I said, well, that's what we're trying to get you there, because that's one of her dreams in retirement is to travel, something she's never really done. So hopefully we get her there. So you have to call the office to RSVP, meet the other members is Wes Blanchard, estate planning attorney. We got Tracy and Stephanie of Dwell Nola Realty and Jude Heath, CPA as well. And of course, my team and I will be there, and we'll cover a few topics of what's going on. We're going to do a concern sheet so we can talk a little bit about what you're wanting to hear as well. So once again, August 16th, Tuesday, 6:30 p.m. Call the office 504-832-9200 to RSVP. Or heck, if you just say, well, look, I just want to come in for a visit, call that number again. You can go to the website, gregoryricks.com. And RSVP as well. Okay, I've got to cover the markets before I completely run out of time here. It's only an hour. On Saturday, we do this from 10 o'clock a.m. to 1 p.m. So I've got 3 hours. So I usually cover most of everything there and still run out of time. Can you imagine that? With 3 hours running out of time. It happens. The Dow Jones was up 3.76. We've got such low volume in the market. It's just all purpose is flat. So it opened up, moved down, and then basically barely finished positive for the day. So the Dow Jones was up 0.02%, closed at 18,533.05. The S&P was up 0.04%, closed at 2181.74. And you remember yesterday's closed number, it was 2180. And the NASDAQ was up almost 0.25%, added on 12.34 points. It closed at $5,225.48. I was reading an article earlier from CNBC News, Mark Faber, Dr. Doom, that's what I call him anyhow, was on. And he's basically, you know, he thinks we can easily give back 5 years of capital gains, which would take the market down to around 1,100, Faber said, referring to a level of 50% below Monday's closing on the S&P 500. Faber has generally become more and more bearish as stocks have climbed. And on Monday, Faber made his latest crash call of the S&P 500, touched an all-time high of 2185. And then pressed on what would cause the decline he predicts, Faber responded that, you know, you never know exactly why this will happen, adding that he believes the market gains are unsustainable. You know, it's like gravity. You go throw a ball up in there. Man, that's the longest I've ever thrown it up. Well, it is going to come to an end. You look at history, it's going to get dialed back. Sometimes a little bit, occasionally a lot. When you look at these overbought at these levels, just like what we talked about, utilities at a ridiculous high, it's going to come back. So once again, like he said, he thinks the gains are unsustainable. It's going to take a pause, even if it's a small one. When pressed on what could the decline cause the decline he predicts, Faber responded, you never know exactly. The fact is that the market hasn't really been driven by genuine buying, but by stock buybacks, takeovers, and acquisitions, and the market leadership has been narrowing. It's not that many stocks that have been making new highs. It's quite a narrow growth of stocks that have been very strong, something we've been saying here on the show for a while. In fact, the market breadth has broadened substantially. As of Monday's close, 48% of the stocks within the S&P 500 have made 52-week highs within the past 3 months, 6% made one-year highs on Monday alone. Even though markets have been incredibly quiescent far of late, Faber warns that the excess liquidity that have been generated by central banks will lead to a great deal of volatility. And turning an eye to personal history, Faber said that I've seen repeatedly in my life market drops of 40 to 50%. In some cases, I've seen a market like Dow Jones drop 20% in one day. And he goes on to say, so many things can happen. And that's ultimate. You never know. But you also have to have an eye out for what might be coming and to prepare. And if something like his predictions was to happen, you shouldn't ride that out. That's an opportunity presenting itself. So you have to have a plan for when things come off the rails. It's really important from that standpoint to make sure you protect yourself. Let's see, what else do I have? I know I've got a bunch of thoughts running through my mind. I'm going to jump back to the annuity discussion, and we were last talking about generally conservative individuals are better suited for fixed annuities. And I'll tell you this, if you're not conservative and like a lot of risk and you like a lot of fees, then variable annuities are for you because they have risk and they have excessive fees. You cannot lose money as a result of market performance with a fixed and indexed annuity. So when I refer to fixed, it's they're talking about the CD type of annuities, MIGAs or multi-year guarantees annuities, and indexed annuities because you're never invested in the market. You may be interest linked, but you have no market exposure on your principal. So if the market was to do like Faber said and go down 40%, then you know what your gain is? It's not negative. It's zero. So in an ugly year, the phrase is kind of zero is my friend because you're not going to go negative. If you're seeing a negative impact, let's say you have an income rider on a fixed indexed annuity, you might have a 0.65% fee, a 0.95% fee, but whatever that fee is, what's going to be deducted, but you have no market impact. Fixed annuities earn an interest at a stated rate. So that's why I kind of refer to them so it's clear. It's fixed interest annuities or CD-like annuities, MIGAs, multi-year guarantee, which is declared by the insurance company for the period they're applying for it. Most are quoted at one-year rates, but like if you're buying a CD, we had Bankers Life call the office today, and I didn't get clarification of why they were calling to confirm a five-year at 2.8%. So I have Tori working. She didn't quite get clarification at the end of the day if she had reached them, but considering where 10-year Treasury's at, yeah, I think if we do have, I'll let you know tomorrow if we get a confirmation that they're giving it on 2.8%. That'd be a pretty good rate right now considering what's going on, and I do expect interest rates to fall some more as things get a little bit probably, perhaps, maybe chaotic. Indexed annuities earn limited interest based on the performance of the stock market index. The most common stock market index to be used as a benchmark of indexed interest on indexed annuities is the S&P's 500 index. See, I've got 20 more to go and I'm out of time. Well, we'll just do it again tomorrow and continue at 7 o'clock. I'll be here with you. You're listening to Winning at Life, the Daily Wrap on News Talk 99.5
WRNO. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is copyrighted by Gregory Ricks for the private use of our audience. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without express consent by Gregory Ricks is prohibited.